I think almost all of you have met Don and Marjorie and their children. And if you haven't, Don actually grew up here in Motley and attended this church with his parents. And so he's a native to this little part of the world. But he's also a native Costa Rican now because he's been there a good long while. His beloved wife is from Costa Rica, and that's their home. And so he's been in the mission field for a good long time. And so I just want you to make welcome this morning and give him your undivided attention and your prayers as he returns home later this week, going back later this week or early next week. Remember to pray for them as they go back and are there in the mission fields for the kingdom of God. Brother Don, come share with us. Lord bless you.
Good morning, church. Wasn't it nice to get up this morning to see the other side of zero? Wasn't that nice, huh? As Jim said, I'm with my wife and my kids. My mother's with me. Why don't everybody just stand up over there just so they know who you are? They would. Twenty-nine years ago, in this month of January, I left for Costa Rica. I actually left for Guatemala. And it was just like the weather you had the last few days. It was 20 below zero. It's great. It was a great place to visit these last few days. 20 below zero. It's a wonderful thing. It's a Minnesota thing. Went to the great Motley High School. And I learned more about English studying Spanish than I ever did when I was in Motley. No fault to the teachers, but you know, sometimes you're a student and sometimes you're just not that great of a student. But they let me through and I snuck out the back door. Somehow I got out of there. The ministry that we do, everything we do is surrounded and works around a Bible school. You might as well go with me. I'm going to spend a little time in the book of Matthew. Let's start at the last chapter of Matthew. I like Matthew because it's an easy place to find. Last chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. Everything we do in the ministry, we measure by this verse. You've heard me say this before, but let me just remind you. I want to just kind of bring you up to speed about what's going on down there, where we've come from and where we're going. That'll take a few minutes. Matthew chapter 28, and you know the verse. It's the last couple, three verses there of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Let's start in 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. I love these two verses. I really do. It reminds me of, it sounds a little weird, why would you think doubting is a good thing? But listen, they went to the place Jesus told them to go. You guys are blessed to have a great church that you can go to. With a pastor that has a pastor's heart. You know, my whole life is with pastors. Not every pastor that I've dealt with are like, well, they're far away, so. But, you know, they're not the most honorable guys. You have an honorable, a real pastor to take over, take care of your life. You're blessed. I just want you to know you're blessed. And, you know, so Jesus tells them to go. They tells them a place to go. They go there. If this is your church, Jesus called you to go here. If you didn't get out of the way, go somewhere else. That sounded bad, but you know, I'm the missionary. I can get away with that. Verse 17 says, they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. And it isn't that why we come to church. We come to see Jesus, we come to worship him, and we come to get our doubts fixed. Isn't that why we come? Isn't that why we're here? And then Jesus says in verse 18, he says, and he came and spoke to them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. And then we have this little word that I've embraced pretty strongly. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end. Amen. This go thing is I've really embraced. You'll have to decide what you do with go. You know, you've got a couple options. You can come and be my neighbor, or you can stay here and go here. It's interesting, some of our best friends, our best supporters of the ministry are those that are very are going where they are. You know, you got to just impact the world where you live. Amen. Sometimes we have the idea that if we just magically change our geography, then all our problems will be solved, and everything will be wonderful. Like there's like a magic something in somewhere else, but it's not really true, because wherever you go, you take yourself with you. You know, so you can't escape yourself. Eventually, the lost luggage does come home. So, but you know, this thing about teaching and observing, making disciples. This is what we do. This is what we do on the field. We do that through our Bible school. Let me tell you how our Bible school started. Our Bible school started in a little town called Tres Rios. It's called Three Rivers in Spanish. Your two rivers were three. We got an extra one. Don't ask me the names of those three. I don't know, but there's at least three creeks that run through the town. Margie's from Tres Rios. It's a great city. It's a great town. About 20 minutes from San Jose, just right next door to San Jose, where we live now. We started with a group. Really, the Bible school started just to help the pastor equip his people. That's all it was for. It was for one church, one time. We did something there. We had classes on a Monday night. How many materials do you print up for a group? I had no idea. So I printed up 50, hoping that, you know, we'd have enough. And we actually ran out. I was so thrilled that we ran out. That was exciting. And then we had another class on Friday. So we had two groups. In the end, we had about 90 students start there in that school. I thought, maybe we got something that'll work. Maybe. We started with one school, with one class. The class that we had ready was called the Need of Prayer. You know why we did the Need of Prayer? Because it was the smallest one to get ready. We had to get everything translated, and Jesus, a lot of work. We started that class. We still didn't have the questions ready for the class. But we had the syllabus ready so we could start. So over time, over process, now I don't know, we've got probably over 50 materials. Now we don't just have one course. Now there's like 50, 60 of them. Now we have things for pastors to equip their people. And we have a program just for pastors. So it's changed from that. A month later that school started in Tres Rios, two pastor friends of mine said, can we do something like this at our church? I thought, wow, somebody else wants to do it. Sure, we can do that. We went to a church, the first church that did it, it had about this many people. It had 6 or 7 people. That's all it had. Then we came back a few months later. We started there with maybe 20 students. Today that church is, I don't know, maybe 400 people just roaring. If you were with me in San Jose, you would go. We'd go there in Miramar. It's a great church. But they embrace the school. They embrace the gospel. He's a great guy. I have another pastor friend started at the same time in Heredia. He started with a group, a church maybe about 40 people, 50 people. And it's grown just like the other one has. Started with maybe 20 students again. And he did something, and I want to challenge you to do the same thing today. He talked to his congregation. He talked to the young people. He talked to everybody at church. And he ran into this verse of go therefore, and he said, you know, if we're going to go anywhere, there's one thing that we need before we can even leave the house. Do you know what you'd need before you can leave the house? Oh, you guys are serious this morning. You have to get a passport, or you can't cross. You can't even visit Canada, and that's right across the street. Isn't that true? So if we really believe this verse, and I'm not saying that you have to come and be my neighbor, but if you want to get somewhere, you have to at least get permission, and that's called a passport. I think they cost, well, the first one I ever bought was $35. I think it's like $135 now. You should have got it when I did. But, of course, it's expired a long time ago. Obviously, I don't work for the government, but they last 10 years. The problem of them lasting so long is eventually you forget that you had it, and then when you need to travel, it might be expired when you need it. But you know, 10 years is a long time, isn't it? So if you really believe this verse of go therefore, then spend $150 or whatever it is, and say, I'm ready, I can go. Amen? Well, you guys look thrilled about that. You really like the 20 below zero, huh? We've just got to be ready to go. Isn't that true? Our first country that the school went to was Colombia. A year later that the school started, it was exported to Colombia. Now, Colombia is a very, I love Colombia. It's a place I enjoy to visit. You go there for a week or two at a time. I never tell my mother that I'm going to Colombia. Never. I learned years ago, you don't tell her, Ma, I'm going to Colombia. You don't do that. You say, Ma, I just came back from Colombia. You don't tell her where you're going. Colombia has given us lots of stuff. It was the first group or the first place that we had a graduation of 500 students. It was a zoo. You know how many times I've done that? I've done it once. It's just too many people at one time because they come with families and friends and all those gowns and jeepers. So we do maybe two graduates of 250 instead of one of 500. But it was fun to try to do it that time. You remember the church started in Tres Rios with a group on Monday and on Friday. That's not common, but I love it when a pastor does that. A pastor does that, he gives the church an opportunity to go on their schedule. You guys have a great opportunity. You got more Bible studies around here. I don't even know when they all. I know you got them on Wednesday. You got them on, I don't know. You got them on half a dozen times in the week? Is there that many? Give or take? Five? I have a pretty good guess. So you got five different opportunities that can fit into your schedule. That's great. I have a pastor in Colombia. He took the school, and he made it five different times in the week in his church. I mean, he embraced the thing. In Colombia, he was the first guy to do that. His first group, you know when his first group in the morning was? Was 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, Pastor, what are you doing with a school at 6 o'clock in the morning? He says, I don't even like to go to church at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I'm the pastor. But he had a group that came in at 6 o'clock in the morning, and these were the guys, listen to who was his students at 6 o'clock in the morning. These were the guys that had businesses, and they wanted to get a couple hours of the Bible in before they went to their business. Wow, great. That's great. And he had five or six different schedules, day, Monday, Tuesday, you know, different hours of the day. So that was something that Columbia gave to us. It was the place where Colombia has had a little problem with guerrillas might not be the word today, but you know the drug lords they've have a problem. They run the zoo. They run the place. I've been in the cities where the police fly over in their helicopters because they're after a few people. It's interesting. We've had a couple bombings. I had a car bombing once when I was in Cali. About a block away from me, my car rattled and shook. The taxi guy wasn't too thrilled about being there. I was in a hotel. I needed to call home. We didn't have cell phones then, or at least I didn't have one. And so I got caught in all that traffic. It was interesting. Our last graduation that I had in Colombia was in the same city, which was in Cali. Cali's a nice city, but we have the school and a group of indigenous people had embraced the school. It was on, you would call it I don't really know if it's a reservation like you guys have here, but it's a group of indigenous people. And they really embraced the school, and their teachers came, and I promised them, I said, if you graduate, I'll go. That to a few places. You don't have to come to the city if you don't have to, if you don't want to. I'd love to go. But a month before I got there, somebody filled a school bus full of bombs and rolled it down the town. And, they blew up a couple houses, and it was not good. I said, you know what, I'm not going. You know what, I think I'm not going to go there. So I just met them in a city. They came to me, and I went to them, and we kind of met halfway, where I thought it might be a tish more secure. But Colombia, the cool thing about Colombia is the people. You don't play around. They're very serious. Just different things. We don't have car bombings where I grow up. We're in San Jose, so this is just a Colombia thing. Hopefully that doesn't continue. We had to special print the materials for some of our groups in Colombia because we didn't want anything on it to say USA on it. Because it said USA, these guys are going to get in trouble. The guerrilla guys are going to come in. They're going to ransack their house, they're going to tear the place up, and they're going to want to know, are you working for the CIA? What's your problem? So we had a special print material so that it would work there. And it works great there. And a couple of my tricky places to go to, I said, I will go if we do the graduation at the local airport. because I knew it was secure. You know, there's police at every airport. Actually, there it's not police, it's military. And they said, okay. Actually, they lied to me. And they picked me up in a taxi, and they said, we're 5 minutes away. I never watched my watch closer than that day. I knew where every the corners were. I knew where the church was. I knew the way out if I had to get out. Now, if you came and visited me, we wouldn't go there. We'd just stay in. We'd just stay in Bogota, where it's nice and safe. But the school works everywhere. People want to be impacted by the gospel. People want to grow. People want to serve God, and it works everywhere. And that's just Colombia. The school's all over. Schools in, you know, all our neighboring countries. But that was just something that, you know, Colombia is very particular about that. We've got groups that come down. Margie helps me take care of the groups. We can have a visitor, just one visitor come down. You'd have to be more than that to be a group, but we can have a group of, 45, 50 people. We've taken care of those many times. My favorite group is 20 people. You know why 20 people is a perfect size? It fits in the bus. That's why it fits in the bus. And they come down, they help with the Bible school. They help maybe with the graduation, maybe with a conference, teaching a church. Help some friends that have orphanages. Help some friends that have a senior center. This senior center is very particular. We talk about orphans as children that are lost. You know, they're abandoned. That's the word, they're abandoned. These are seniors that have been abandoned. You say, how did that happen? I don't know. You know, something happened and they got abandoned. So we go in. A friend of ours, a pastor, has a senior center for those kind of guys. I asked him, well, how does a funeral work if everybody's abandoned? He says, it doesn't. It is just me, my son, or whoever's with the ministry, and we take care of business. Nobody shows up. There's nobody. Nobody repents at the last minute. We've had groups come down and help with feeding centers. We had a group come down once. We have various groups come down and do construction, build different churches. In May, where's my Nicaragua buddy? Hiding in the back. In May, we had our conferences, and in May we had a double. We had two groups back-to-back, which we can do. It's just a lot of work. So we had a group in Costa Rica, and we had a group in Nicaragua, and there was 1 day layover. So we did a week with them in Costa Rica, and the last day I left, and my wife took care of them the last day. She only lost one person when I was gone. And they eventually did come back, but we'd only lost one person. And then I went to Nicaragua, and was with the group there in Nicaragua, in Managua, in the capital, and we were there for a week. Everything about the ministry is equip and train people. This is what you participate in. Your church helps us. Your church supports us. This is what we do. Of course, we have visitors. We have groups. We do conferences. We did a conference that started in 2002. I visited Nigeria, Africa, 2000 or 2001, it was probably 2001. And I said, wow, we can do this in Costa Rica. And so we did. The next year we did it in Costa Rica. We started a conference. We did an international conference. People came from the region to Costa Rica. We did that for a couple of years. Then we did it a couple of years in Honduras, and everybody went to Honduras. Then we did a couple of years there, and we went to Panama. Panama, everything changed because we hooked up with a huge church in Panama. Today, that conference is in three countries it starts on Wednesday and ends on Sunday. It starts in Costa Rica for a couple days, and then it goes over to Panama. Then it finishes in Nicaragua. That's a zoo. You don't ever want to do that, but we've done it now 2 or 3 years in a row. It's all, you know, all the logistics are just horrendous. But it's, you know, it's exciting to see if we get all the pieces to work. But it works. And our conference thing works good. Just to let you know, visitors come, groups come. Bible school is our measuring stick. And this portion of the gospel in Mark is how we measure the school. Sometimes we have to stop things that aren't working. Sometimes we have to change things. And that's just fine. I want to talk to you just a few minutes, as I would for some students. And it's going to work out just perfect. Back up 7 to chapter 7 in Matthew. I want to give you two challenges today. One is get a passport. Figure out what you're going to do with the word go. And the second one is when I do talk with my students, I encourage them to, obviously to study. If you're a student of mine, you're going to be with me for a year, 2 years, 3 years. It's going to be part of your lifestyle to do the class. You guys aren't my students. I had a few people with me on Wednesday. We'll finish that up this Wednesday. And then Jim will get them all fixed after I leave. So I enjoyed being with them yesterday. Wednesday. That was a lot of fun. Paul encourages Timothy to remind people, to encourage people. James encourages the people to look into the mirror and to see what the Bible calls the Bible the mirror, and to look and see what they're supposed to look like. And in Matthew, it says, Matthew 7:24, therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I liken to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. You know this verse. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descend, and the floods come, and the winds blow, and they beat on the house, and this one's not so good, it falls. You with me? If you want to be the wisest person in Motley, Minnesota, Morrison County, whatever we are here in central Minnesota, you only have to do two things. Hear what Jesus is saying and do what he says to do. That's it. I'm going to say this in a little hard way, but I'm leaving town. It doesn't matter. You could be the dumbest guy in town. You could be the dumbest guy in town. Listen to what Jesus says. Do what he says. And in your life, you'll have the fruit of wisdom. Everybody will think you're the smartest guy around. Amen? The opposite is also true. You can be the most studious person. You can be the most educated person. And you can listen to what Jesus says and say, Jesus, you know what? I got a better idea. And you'll look like the foolish guy in town. Amen? All we have to do is hear what he says and do what he says do. That's all. And we'll have the fruit of wisdom in our life. Amen? Sometimes we're concerned about all the storms and the wind. There's an attitude in Christianity today just to try to escape as much storms as possible. If you don't want any storms, it's real easy. Just die. Then there won't be any storms. Storms are part of the life thing. If you want to escape storms, just die. Thank you for laughing. That was... if you ever doubt if he was being serious or not, always chuckle, because he probably tried to do a joke and it didn't work. The thing that isn't important is we're going to have storms. That's just part of life. Winds blow, rains come. That's just part of the package. What's important is where our house is built. The guy builds his house on the rock. Storms come, he's good. The other guy builds his house on the sand, and he's not so good. Amen? So, we could talk about the foundation of the house and all that stuff, but what's important is not to escape storms, not to do a 30-second prayer and then everything's going to be all right. Jesus doesn't say you escape storms, you just have a house that withstands it, no problem. Amen? And to be that wise person, all we have to do is hear what Jesus is saying and do what he says do. That's all. That's all we got to do. And you have tons of opportunities. They got classes here 5 times a week. You can fit it in your schedule. Everybody's got a Bible. A friend of mine on Sunday told me that, this is chapter 7. Jesus starts talking in chapter 5. You can read all three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, in 17 minutes and 13 seconds, I think he told me, or 3 seconds. My point is, you've got your Bible. Use it. You can read it, or you can listen to it. With the technology today, our Bibles talk to us. We don't have to read it if we don't want to, but it can talk to us. Take advantage of it. Amen? It's great to see you this morning. I'm blessed to be here with you. I love central Minnesota. This is a great place. You live in a beautiful area of the United States. You're blessed. You're at a great church. You have a great pastor. You guys are blessed. Amen. Stand with me and let me just pray for you. Father God, thank you for this great time here with our friends here in Motley, Minnesota. Lord, these are great people. They love you. They just love being a part of your family. Thank you for making a way so we can be a part of your family and thank you for all that Jesus did for us. Father God, thank you that these are people that hear what Jesus has to say and they do what he says to do. These are the smartest, wisest people in the city. Father God, thank you for blessing them. Thank you that they are people that you've paid a great price to put them in the family. Thank you for making a way for us. Amen? Amen. Be blessed.